here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, I was watching Fox this morning. They were doing what they do best, panic. There was Shepard Smith, eyes bugged out, his mascara running, talking about SARS, his lipstick applied improperly. And we're in for it, baby. SARS. That's what it is, SARS. Not to be confused with what Shepard is occasionally, sore. I'm joking around. He's a guy, you know, he's a great guy, I guess. I don't know. He looks a little, but he's fine. He just, you know, I wish, as I say, I got no problem with homosexuals so long as they, all right, so anyway. Come on, Phil, don't blow it. SARS. You've heard about it. You're going to die. That's right. You're all going to die from SARS. Fox was talking about it today, and then they had the woman come on, some reporter, and her eyes were bugging out of her head, but she had that little smile on her face which says, boy, I got you going now, don't I? That's right, Shep. The World Health Organization and International, and Smith is waving this piece of paper around saying, the World Health Organization has never done this before as a travel advisory. Never. He's waving this piece of paper around. He's got some doctor who sits... sitting there, and this guy looks like he was rode hard and put up wet, and he's...
Shepard, we aren't sure. It could be anything. It could be a mutated virus. I don't know.
Well, give me information, doctor. Are we in for it? Is this it?
It looks like it, yes.
I mean, these guys, do they report the news there? And I'm not just singling them out. Does anybody anywhere report the news? The answer to that question is no. And it isn't their fault if you don't get the information. We just have to access a thank God for the internet. Seriously, thank God for the internet. The new way of getting information. You could just go online and find the stuff yourself. Don't listen to these guys screaming and yelling and running around in their high heels. Just read up on this stuff as I did. SARS. It's called Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome. Now, you've heard about all these people dying. Well, the people that most recently died in Canada, in Toronto, where they've had a fairly serious outbreak of it, not that death is good, but it comes for all of us, and the people who died up there were 86. And another woman was 80. And another woman was 78. The elderly, as you know, are at risk when influenza breaks out. Now, we've had... a number of cases reported in the United States. I can give you the numbers. Not one fatality. People have recovered. And then I went and I got a chart. Because that explains stuff to me. Otherwise, I'm as dumb as a handful of Florida dirt. I couldn't tell you. Now, if you look at this here chart that I printed out from the World Health Organization, those are the guys that run the whole deal. They got this SARS epidemic, which begun sometime in the middle of February, early February. And they early February, yeah. Suspected SARS cases internationally, well, I take that back, January. Actually, it goes back to 1861. No, it was January this year, and they had one little case, and then it kind of crept along through January, and then it started to spike a little bit in the middle of January. And I'm talking about worldwide. Then it kind of receded the middle of February, and then it receded down to late February, and it was flat until the middle of March, and then it spiked. Then it went down a little bit, then went up. Now, its highest level was reached at the end of March, and since then, it has been steadily descending. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I do know that flu epidemics go in cycles. That's if you look at the worldwide chart. Then you look at the Canada chart. Exact same thing in Canada. Only the first cases in Canada weren't detected until late February. It goes up. You know, there's actually just one, and then it goes up to about seven cases in mid-March, spikes there, goes back down. Then you look at the United States. We had our first case in the United States early February, and then there wasn't any for a while. Then it goes flat, spikes in March, goes back down, goes back up again in late March, and comes back down. So the cycle is similar internationally, America, Canada. It's like a flu epidemic that got really bad in late March and is beginning to taper off. And I couldn't agree with that guy from Canada more, that travel minister. You know, you're messing with people's livelihood here. Now, understand that the health is important of everybody. I get that. Everybody wants to be healthy, and nobody wants to be exposed to a horrific, death-dealing virus. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not AIDS. And I remember when AIDS first made the scene. Many of my younger friends don't recall that. Oh, yeah. Be thankful you weren't around for that. And I'm not talking about the men that died. It was horrible. But the panic that ensued after the AIDS outbreak took place in the early 80s, when it really got well-known, when it really got visible, the panic was some of the... It would have been funny if it wasn't so sad. I remember my girlfriend at the time, one of my 10 girlfriends at the time, she worked in a bank, and she was worried she was going to get AIDS off the money that she handled. So she was sweating that for about a week until I, you know, slapped her around a little bit, and I said, come on, hey. Just, you know, smacked her, and she was fine. Now, dig this. So here's what happens. AIDS is around for a number of years in Africa. Then it hits the North American continent, and it becomes, the very early reporting of AIDS was called gay pneumonia. Nobody remembers that, but that's what it was called. It used to be called gay pneumonia, because only gay men were getting it, and it was some debilitating ailment of some kind that only gay men had. Doctors, and nobody cared, naturally, if it was only affecting gay men and killing them off, why would America care? So, you know, gay guys were dying, but the rest of us were having fun. Then all of a sudden a doctor came along and said, now wait a minute, it's AIDS. It's an acquired immune deficiency syndrome that anybody can get. Dun, dun, dun. Then everybody started to freak. Everyone started writing up their will. And then they found out that it was sexually transmitted, and that was the biggest monkey wrench to throw into a culture like America in the early 80s, because people had been having sex freely and without bathing afterwards for years, decades. Do you understand what happened in the early 80s? See, kids today, you know, they're in high school. I talk to my sons, and my sons are, I'm not going to have sex with a woman until I'm married with her. Are you kidding me? What's that about? Like, you don't understand, man. Like, back when I was a kid, you mean you just had sex with girls and stuff? Well, yeah.
Jesus.
You know, they look at you like you're a piece of crap. Maybe they're right. I'm saving it for my wife. Because they look with disgust and disdain upon us. Because we were such, you know, like animals. I don't blame them. Although if he says it to me, to my face, then I have to smack him around. But, no, really. They don't understand. Yeah, you had sex. And so, although, they're, not that they ain't, but there's an attitude that it ain't cool to some level, some degree. Whereas back then, you had to. If you weren't having sex, you were mentally impaired. There was something wrong. What, did you get it blown off in the war? What's wrong with you? Don't you have a girlfriend? Don't you have a boyfriend? So along comes AIDS. Now, all of a sudden, you can't have sex. That ruined it. And the panic that went, you know, the panic was unparalleled. You can get it from toilet seats. You can get it from kissing. You can get it from shaking hands. You can get it from breathing the air. You're all going to die. And the way you die, it's slow and horrible. And the immune deficiency begins. And suddenly you're prone to diseases. Well, the same thing's going on with the SARS thing. People are wearing masks. Nobody's traveling to Toronto. Nobody's going to China. World Health Organization, because they don't want to have another epidemic on their hands like the influenza epidemics of the past, and maybe they don't want to have another AIDS crisis on their hands, they're having travel advisories to certain towns. And that bit about don't go to Toronto, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why you wouldn't want to go to Toronto, but getting SARS ain't one of them. I'm kidding. It's a very nice, you know, place. It is. So I'm told. Maybe one day our affiliate will invite us up there and we'll, you know, broadcast from the outer Toronto ring. Pardon me for putting it that way. The outer Toronto, you know, hole or whatever. So I look at this thing and everybody's panicking. So Shepard, you know, take a chill. You bother me already, but you and the rest of that crew. He was literally, I thought he was going to cry. I thought he was going to start crying. Who is at risk? Well, if you have close contact with somebody that has it. If you get a fever greater than 100.4, other symptoms include headache, overall feeling of discomfort, body ache. Hello, it's called the flu. After 2 to 7 days, SARS patients may develop a dry cough and have trouble breathing. So you're supposed to go to the doctor and get it treated, right? And they also give you recommendations on what the hell to do if somebody in the family gets it. You can go to the website, CDC. They got it all there for you. Go to the World Health Organization website. Read up on it. Find out who is actually dying from this disease. I don't know about China, but I did look up the fatalities in Canada. And again, they were elderly people, and these are people that are at risk. In other words, you're like 28, 29 years old. I don't know, but I don't think you're going to die from it. And everybody that got it here in America is recovering. And so get out of here and quit bothering me. There you go. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Elsewhere on the show today, we're going to have an interview, and I still don't know how Janice did this, but we were able to nail down the Dixie Chicks, all three of them, and we are going to have them on our show and talk to them about the forthcoming interview with Diane Sawyer. But I'll tell you something, we got them first, and we're going to be talking to them later on. We'll give you a little Lacey Peterson update. O.J. Simpson's got a TV show. There's another dumbass in the Republican Party along the lines of Trent Lott. Boy, when are those guys going to learn? Probably never. And other things. We'll have an Iraq update as well. Vernon Dozier on the show today. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So I'd like to say at this time I do have SARS, but I'm going to be all right. Don't worry about it. I'll be at that kissing booth this Saturday. And, you know, a kiss for $5 and it goes to my favorite charity. But I am infected with the SARS virus, and that shouldn't worry you at all. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry. My number is 1-800-449-8686, and my wife is at the beach with my daughter, which means I can actually go home and play Madden 2003 and not have to do anything else but sit in my office until I get home at about 7:30 at night and sit there for hours. My sons don't need any taking care of. They're three teenage boys, and they barely know that I exist anyway. They sit and play Halo, so it's just a bunch of men staring at television screens and going, "Oh, man, you cheated!" Just four guys sitting around doing idiotic stuff like that. And so with the wife out of town, you know, you do things. You stretch out a little bit. It's tough to actually recommend marriage to people when you say things like, "Hey, my wife's out of town and I actually relaxed." It's difficult, but it's, you know. Anyway, she's okay. No, I love my wife. But I kind of kick back, and there was a lot of candy from Easter. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Easter at our house. Our kids no longer believe there's an Easter bunny. They can't believe it forever. But it is kind of bittersweet when you realize that they're going along with it, they're humoring you. Like my daughter says, did the Easter bunny hide eggs this year? Yes, he did. That's okay. Great. You know. And she's going to go out and, you know, she humored us, man. She went out. She's the youngest one. She went out and looked for the candy eggs that we laid out there. Plastic eggs that my wife saves year to year that you open up and put the candy in. Like, she goes, "Go get the eggs." Oh, come on, will you? Go get the plastic eggs. Can't we buy new ones? Get them. Every year I got to find which matches which and where they are. And half of them, they're busted. And then one year, last year, I left them outside. We left the Easter eggs out. Raccoons attacked them. I swear to God, my kids went outside to look for Easter eggs. And like, "Hey, what happened to this one?" It's like chewed up and the milk chocolate sucked out of it. Bite marks on it, teeth marks, you know, stretched across the thing. So this year, God bless her, you know, my daughter said, "I guess you hid eggs?" "Yes, we did." "Okay." And the guys didn't even wake up. They stayed in bed. So she got all the eggs, and then Maria made her split them with her brothers. I said, "That's not fair." "Well, oh, come on, it's about scary." "No, come on, she's looked for the eggs. She ought to get a little extra something." "No, we don't do it like that." "Oh, okay." So I slipped my, you know, I went and found a bag of Rolos and slipped her a few extra packs. Brothers didn't find out about it. But it is, it's, you know, a little bittersweet. I remember when they were younger, they believed in Santa Claus. It was cool. Christmas is cool for an adult when your kids believe in Santa Claus. It's really cool. I can't describe it any other way. I do not subscribe to the belief that Santa Claus will turn your kid into Hitler. I'm sorry. It's a cool fantasy for a kid to have. That's what kids do. But it's really fun when they believe in him, and then when they get too old to believe in him, you almost want them to continue believing. They're like 26. Hey, Santa Claus is coming. Yeah, okay. Do you want to put out the milk and cookies for him? What? Is there something wrong? No, nothing's wrong. Well, you look disturbed. I look disturbed, yeah. I'm 26. Yeah? I'm putting cookies in milk? What is it with you? I'm your father. You shouldn't talk to me like that. I'm not trying to be rude. Hey, let's leave some carrots for the reindeer. Oh, Jesus. You know, and that year you left turds on the roof called the reindeer turds. I ain't with that. I ain't with it. So anyway, we had this candy left over. So I got into bed last night, you know, and the cat's there. And I got my book. I'm trying to finish The Citizen Soldier. And I reached down and I found these Reese's Pieces. We had bag after bag. Because my wife said, you go out and get the candy. And just, I said, well, what do I get? We'll get jelly beans and all that crap. I said, okay. So I said, where are the jelly beans? And she said, right here. And I said, where's the crap? She says, right over there. So anyway, I went over and I got Reese's Pieces and I got Hershey Kisses and I got Rolos, which are awesome. And I got, and I couldn't find any. That's what I wanted to eat last night. But the Rolos are all gone. Oh, well, gee, I wonder who ate those. Considering the bag is in our bedroom and nowhere else. Considering she loves those, and I'm reaching, I'm looking for some. Does she save for me? No, forget that. You get to eat the Reese's Pieces, Henry. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Reese's Pieces. They're fine. I don't have this big-time addiction like everybody else I know does. Oh, God. Oh, Reese's Pieces. Oh, will you stop it? Don't you remember an E.T.? Well, yes, I remember E.T., and he ate them. Yeah. But for some reason, last night, I really had this thing up for candy, so I'm sitting there, I'm reading my book, and I must have eaten one after the other, those Reese's, not Reese's Pieces, but Reese's Buttercup. What are they called? Reese's Peanut Butter Cups? I ate probably 15 of these, right? I was on the toilet this morning for several hours, with intermittent gut pain, gas, I'll go ahead and say it. And just kind of parked there and talk about getting some reading done. You think they turn into cement? Opposite. I was on that toilet for literally hours this morning after eating Reese's freaking peanut butter cups. And I will never touch another piece of chocolate or candy again as long as I live on this or any other planet. I'm done. I'm through. I would rather smoke packs of cigarettes. I'd rather drink. Of course, when I get home tonight, I'm going to look around for those Rolos again. Oh, it was frightening. All of a sudden this morning, Jesus, why do I feel like I've got like a wild animal in my lower intestine? And the next thing I know, what? Onto the toilet, and it's just, let's see, another half hour, we ought to be finished. Thanks a lot, Reese's. Look, I'm kidding, of course. No, I'm not really kidding. I mean, it did happen, but I still eat your candy. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Tomorrow night, the Dixie Chicks, the three ladies who are country music singers, Their names are Natalie Maines and a bunch of other people. I don't remember. Where the hell are their names? Natalie Maines is one of them. And, oh, yeah, here it is. Emily Robinson and Marty McGuire. And they're going to be on ABC's Diane Sawyer thing tomorrow night. And they'll speak out about controversial comments regarding President Bush made last month overseas at a London concert. What were those comments? They said, we are ashamed that George Bush is from Texas. And they said it in front of a bunch of Brits in London, at a concert hall in London. And it hit the wires. And the fans back here apparently went nuts. The country music radio stations that play their records, some of them banned Dixie Chicks music. And it was a general backlash. They also got some death threats. They had some pretty bad times there. Tomorrow night they'll be on with Diane Sawyer. The interview will be on Primetime Thursday. And we are very fortunate because through our good offices and the offices of Janice Ngaro, our producer, we've been able to get the Dixie Chicks on. And I've been asked not to talk specifically about anything that's going to be on the Diane Sawyer interview. So we're going to cover just some general things with the Dixie Chicks. We have Natalie Maines. Natalie Maines and Emily Robeson and Marty McGuire. Are you guys there? I can't. Are you guys there?
Right, Phil, right here.
And is Marty there?
I'm right here, Phil.
And Emily, are you there?
Right here.
I'll start with you, Natalie. You're the one who made the comments. Why did you say that?
I look back on it, Phil. I said it because I wanted to. I was in Europe, and as an American in Europe, you want to pretend like you're European, and you want to feel like you know and feel the way Europeans do, and I realized that there was some anti-Bush sentiment there, so I said it to get the audience on my side, basically.
Do you really feel that way about President Bush?
Well, I don't know how I feel about President Bush, because I never looked into the matter that deeply. I just said it as a reaction to trying to get the audience on my side.
And yet you tell Diane Sawyer tomorrow night that you have a lot of questions, or you had a lot of questions about the war in Iraq.
Yeah, that's bullcrap. I spend more time eating than I do anything else, Phil, as you know, and playing music. I enjoy music. But what I was doing was basically, I was trying to get the audience's mind off of something that happened that was actually embarrassing as we were coming on stage. I was wearing corduroy pants, and because of the friction between my thighs, it set off a fire that the crew had to put out. So and it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing because the flames are everywhere.
Natalie, you made the comments, but Emily, you heard them. Why do you guys need to be on the show?
Well, because we're members of the Dixie Chicks, and Natalie has essentially, when she said what she said, she not only was ruining potential for her career, but for ours as well. So now we have to go on the show, and we have to apologize for something that her big, fat ass said. And we said nothing about that.
Marty, do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we love Natalie, but when she gets up on stage, and she's typical of short, large women, she's kind of bossy. And she made the comment, and as Natalie pointed out, because the corduroy friction fire had started, we wanted to loosen people up. And so we said George Bush is a war criminal, because it's a good line, it's a good throwaway line. Hey, did you hear about Bush, incinerating Jews? And everybody was, ha, 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 ha. You know, it relaxes people, is basically it.
I want to ask, you mentioned, Natalie, that you don't really know much about international affairs. So why would you speak out about it?
Because, it's what everybody was doing. I mean, I heard Tim Robbins was doing it, and the woman that he lives with, I forget her name right now, Susan
Sarandon?
Yeah. So she, and everybody was getting a lot of ink, and the other guy was getting ink. What's his name? Sean Penn. So we decided we wanted to get a little ink, but I went too far.
Now, I want to say this. I think you have the right on stage. I think you got the right to say anything that you want to say anywhere.
Well, gee, thanks a lot, Phil.
Well, no, really. I do. I think you have the right to say, and on stage especially, because that's where you perform. Bruce Springsteen is well known for his stories that he told on stage about his life and about war and about peace and about the human experience. Many artists are. So there's nothing wrong. Eddie Vedder did it. I guess all I'm saying is, why are you apologizing? Don't you believe what you said?
Again, it's to make sure that we don't get impacted financially. Why am I apologizing? Does it mean I don't believe what I said? I don't even know if I did believe what I said, but I'm apologizing so that we can get the radio stations back on board and minimize any financial problem. Can I say something, Phil?
Who's this?
This is Marty.
Go ahead, Marty.
Phil, the other thing is we haven't really felt any financial backlash. I mean, we're just as rich as ever. All you have to do is, again, we point to the corduroy friction fire. Those thighs aren't getting smaller, they're getting larger, and the reason for that is the money that we make. And I want to jump in here, Phil. This is Marty. She's making a good point. The money that we make enables Natalie to sit down after a concert, tear into a half a dozen apple pies. It's a great thing. And let me say something here.
Who's this?
This is Natalie. I don't eat that much.
Well, Natalie, I want to say I think you're very attractive. I think you're very sexy. I like a woman with a little meat on her.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome.
But anyway, we just want to get everybody on our side. We want to get this backlash over with and get this thing behind us because it's obvious that we misspoke.
Well, I would question you guys for actually going on Diane Sawyer and apologizing. If you believed what you said, you shouldn't apologize. You also say something that's really confusing, and I hear a lot of people do it. We support the troops. This doesn't mean we don't support the troops not liking the war. What does that mean? And who is this?
This is Marty, Phil. I don't know what that means. It's just something that we said because we heard other people say it. You know, Phil, this is Emily. Can you tell us what it means?
Yes,
Phil. I'm Natalie. What does it mean?
Well, I don't think it means anything. I think when you say you support the troops but you don't support the war, you really don't support the troops. Because if you supported the troops, you'd support what they firmly believe in, which is doing their job. So I think it's a cop-out for people who are anti-war to say they support the troops. In point of fact, they don't.
So if we said that...
Who's this?
This is Natalie. If we said we supported the troops, people wouldn't buy it?
Smart people wouldn't buy it, no.
Phil, this is Emily. So that doesn't make us liars, does it?
No, it means that you're just doing another cliche like a lot of celebrities.
Hi, Phil. Marty here. All right, so when we go on Diane Sawyer tonight, are we going to be okay?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think you guys were ever in trouble. I think you guys were fine. I think the worst problem you had was, like you say, keeping Natalie in food and not starting fires on stage.
Well, the thing of it is, Phil, is I ran out there. And as you well know, when you have thighs like mine, and I invite people to go to Drudge Report if they don't believe what I'm saying, when you have thighs like mine and you run, the friction becomes very just boom, 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 boom. It's so hot. I mean, it set fire to my ass to stop it, okay? We're on the air. Yeah, quit it.
Who is that?
I'm Marty. I'm Emily.
Well, Natalie, good luck to you guys. I love your music. I didn't agree with your stance. I thought it was a cruel thing to say about the president. I don't think it came from an intelligent place, but as an artist, I think you have the right to say that.
Well, then why don't you like Tim Robbins?
Oh, you follow my show, huh?
Well, sort of.
Well, I didn't like Tim Robbins because he said all that crap standing at a podium at the National Press Club. Make a movie. That's what he does.
Oh, okay. Now I get it. Yeah, me too. Me too.
All right, thanks, ladies, and good luck. We'll be looking for the interview, and good luck in the future. You make great music, and just, you know, you sound stupid when you talk about the war.
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, we do. Yeah, I agree.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The Dixie Chicks, very excited about having them on our program, and you heard Natalie say that the remark was off the cuff, it was not intended, she had not planned it, that it actually came as the result of a friction fire that took place between her thighs because she was wearing corduroy pants. And that now, I think, looking at that, you can say, all right, okay, I'll give you one. Marty McGuire and Emily Robison expressed, I know very surprisingly, that they have to go on the show because it was Natalie who opened her mouth and said something. They didn't. But now Natalie has endangered their careers as well. So it's very interesting, and we'll look forward to it. Again, we thank the Dixie Chicks for coming on the program. We thank their record company and, of course, their management. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
By the way, we will have on in a few minutes a school teacher, a high school teacher, who believes that the Dixie Chicks apology should not be viewed by his students or their parents, and he's going to take steps to make sure that it is not, because he thinks that they overstepped, you know, stepped over the line there with their comments. Senator Rick Santorum, who is a Republican from Pennsylvania, made no apology yesterday for comparing homosexuality to bigamy, polygamy, incest, and adultery, as top Democrats joined the chorus of gay rights groups criticizing him. During an interview with the Associated Press published Monday, Santorum criticized homosexuality while discussing a pending Supreme Court case on a Texas sodomy law, an area that he is very, very interested in. If the Supreme Court says that you have the right to consensual gay sex, said Mr. Santorum, within your home, then you have the right to bigamy, you have the right to polygamy, you have the right to incest, you have the right to adultery, you have the right to anything, he said in an interview. He also said, I have no problem with homosexuality, I have a problem with homosexual acts. He also told Fox News, I do not need to give an apology based on what I said and what I'm saying now. I think this is a legitimate public policy discussion. Way to go, baby. Way to go. He's a young man, I understand, and he's great. He's just taken his political career and flushed it right down the crapper, and he's just getting going, too. He's a senator. You know how tough it is to be a senator? Anybody can be in the House of Representatives 2 years and you're out, and they get another schmuck in there. Just one slob after another. But a senator, and this guy has just flushed his career. Let me tell you something. Not that anybody's interested, but I am. In America, there's only two political parties you're allowed to belong to, as you know, the Democrats or the Republicans. If you belong to any other political party, nobody gives a crap about what you think. And generally, what you think isn't interesting anyway. You belong to any other political party, and especially those libertarians. Boy, do you guys give me a headache. Oh, God. Well, I'm a libertarian. What does that mean? You're gay? I don't understand. But as long as you got to be in either the Democrats or the Republicans, this is one of the reasons why the Republicans will never be anything more in the minds of a lot of people as some hayseed, barn-raising bunch of hicks. Because every time they seem to be getting their neck, you know, out of the woods, every time they get something going good, like Bush with the war in Iraq, which I support, and all that stuff, out comes one of their good old boys with this stuff. The Republican Party with that Trent Lott, you remember that guy? And everybody debates it like, oh, well, I don't know. Should he stay? Should he go? He's a freaking bigot. He's an old school Southern jackass. Now, add to him this guy, Senator Rick Dumbass of Pennsylvania, who has taken his career. You mark my words, this guy's done. I ain't saying he's going to be out of the Senate, but he's done. He's done for any significant position of power. Apparently, he's the number three guy, whatever that means. What, the number three guy in a threesome? See, guys that talk this way, I've always believed they're latent homosexuals, and I always will. I just always will. I'm sorry. You know, and I make no apology for it. I think Senator Rick Santorum, the problem why he's, you know, the reason why he's got a problem here is because deep down he's queer. I really do. I bet you the Republicans got, well, the Republicans got a ton of homosexuals. They just don't like to admit it. Just like the Democrats do. And the Democrats, I ain't no friend of them either, even though I am a registered one. I get so sick and tired listening to those two idiots, the Republicans and Democrats, sniping at each other like one guy's better than the other. They're all in it for big government. Just one believes in one kind of big government. The other one believes in another kind of big government. What do you want to spend it on, welfare or the military? It's all big government. But then along comes one of these guys that reminds you that the Republicans, they still got one foot back in the 1920s. They still got one foot stuck firmly in the Georgia clay of dumb. With no disrespect intended to my friends in Georgia, I just thought of Georgia clay and it came out. Could be any kind of a clay. What do you care, pal, whether a guy is gay or not? These cats that keep harping this sodomy thing and incest thing, I think they got a problem. I think this guy is a homosexual. I think his wife should get AIDS tested. Because who knows what bars this guy's been lurking around in. And, you know, how these cats are when they burst out of the closet, which this guy's still in, I guess. Maybe. It's my opinion. Yeah, he probably had a little unprotected sex over there at the jamboree. I don't know. Every time the Republicans try to paint themselves as this party of the future, where they've been trying to do that. You know, let me tell you something that nobody likes to talk about here in California, but I'm going to clue you in on something. You're going to love this. You can amaze your friends and influence people with this. We got a governor here in California that everybody says they can't stand. His name is Gray Davis. I don't know. Maybe he's bad. Maybe he ain't. It's a lot of stuff that isn't his fault. The preceding governor left him with a whole load of crap, but nobody wants to listen to that. But anyway, this guy got elected. You want to know why? Because the Republican Party in this state is so stupid, and I mean stupid on a level that breaks all records, they ran a guy named Bill Simon against him, who is a Bible-thumping dumbass. Nobody, and I'm going to tell you this for the last time, nobody wants to be a part of any Republican Party that's got its foot in that good old Southern attitude about gays and fags and blacks and all that, and abortion. Oh, man, you guys keep harping on that pro-life crap. You're dead meat. That's why you lost California, because the state of California has got the stupidest Republicans that ever walked the planet Earth. Dumber than a handful of freaking Georgia dirt, baby. So they ran this guy Simon. I mean, the smell on that guy, nobody'd vote for him. They wouldn't vote for him for freaking catching dogs. But they wanted that good conservative Republican. Well, you know what that means? He's an idiot, number one. He's a Bible thumper, number two. He don't like fags, number three. He's into that pro-life thing, number four. In other words, all kinds of stuff that's got nothing whatsoever to do with running the country. Stick your nose in a bedroom. Stick your nose up a woman's uterus. Shove your hand into anything and everything. I mean, these guys are freaky. They're weird. They're weird. They got some weird hang-up. I don't know what it is. But methinks thou protesteth too much, said Shakespeare. You go going on and on and on about fags, pal. Maybe you ought to take a good long look in the mirror. And it's going to keep on happening and keep on happening and keep on happening as long as these dumbasses that run that Republican Party don't take guys like this out to the woodshed and probably give him what he wants, good spanking. Or get him the hell out of your party, man. Otherwise, you guys are a joke. You got a pretty decent president here. He knows how to kick a little Iraqi ass. But along comes this stuff. You got that Trent Lott and this. There'll be another guy in another 6 months. Don't worry about it. Some guy will say something about retards or cripples or something. He'll offend them. And then some other guy will come along and talk about spics. You know, it never ends with these people. Never ends. Good going in California by the Republican Party. You really put up a man there in that Bill Simon. Oh, man. Try to get it right. By the way, if any of this sounds like I care, I don't. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, other than SARS, the big story today is the Dixie Chicks going on Diane Sawyer to apologize for comments they made on stage in London back just before the war with Iraq started. The comment, the quote was that Natalie Maines, the lead singer in the group, said to the assembled there that they were ashamed that George Bush came from Texas, read by everyone as an anti-war statement, an anti-Bush statement, and maybe a little bit over the top. A lot of people are responding in a lot of different ways. We wanted to get an educational perspective. Vernon Dozier is a mathematics teacher. He's a high school teacher and also teaches current events at Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. And Mr. Dozier, thank you for coming on our program at such late notice. I know that you've been contacted by a couple of news media today outlets, and I appreciate it.
It's always my pleasure, Phil.
Mr. Dozier, you are teaching your kids current events, or...
Well, we call it contemporary events, but it's a view, it's an overview of today's news.
And obviously this Dixie Chick story is very much a part of it.
It is, and it's also I think it's an education for our young people to not believe everything they hear.
Because your viewpoint is that the Dixie Chicks are not sincere?
Oh, I don't think they're sincere at all, no, sir.
Tell me why you believe that, and you're telling the kids that?
I absolutely am offering my opinion to the kids. I think the Dixie Chicks bawling their eyes out, and I have been told that on this broadcast, this Miss Sawyer woman who's doing the interview, apparently they cried and you know, shed tears and all this. I'm gonna love it personally. I'm gonna love it because you think they would do that if we lost the war? They wouldn't be doing that. They'd be gloating and they'd be dancing and they'd be having a good time. But the reason why they're on this Sawyer Woman's program and they're bawling their eyes out is because we won the war and they look stupid, and also they're going to lose money.
So you're obviously doubting the sincerity of these women.
Oh, absolutely.
And what do your kids say about it?
What my kids... I think I have something to add. I doubt the sincerity because they aren't patriots. They kicked this country in the gut at a time of war. And then we win. And I don't think it's right that three, and it's difficult for me to see these women other than what I think they are, which is basically bar trash. I don't think that three...
Well, we don't have to characterize them that way, do we?
Well, I think it's a legitimate way to characterize women who, you know, you don't know what they did to get where they are.
Well, my understanding is all three of these women are mothers.
Okay. I don't know what that's got to do with the price of tea in China, but...
Well, the fact is, calling them bar trash...
Look, they played bars and all of this stuff. Now they hate their country. They hate their country, but they still make money off of it.
I'm talking with Vernon Dozier. He is a contemporary events and history teacher, as well as math and football at Belmar Academy, about what you're teaching the kids. I wanted to find out what the kids think.
Well, the kids think... Really, Phil, what they think is not important because they're at a time in their life where they are forming their opinions. So when they come into our class, they want to hear what I've got to say. What they've got to say is not important right now because they're still very young. And what I tell them is this, do not watch this interview tomorrow night because you are going to be manipulated into thinking the Dixie Chicks love their country and they're all balling and all of that stuff. Like, boy, I'll tell you what. Man, women, they really know how to get to a man with all that teardrop stuff. So I tell them not to watch, and I have sent out emails to the parents of the kids in my class not to watch this program. I think it is...
Why?
I strongly discourage it because I think that the, it is a destructive message. They're lying. I think they're liars. I think they hate their country. I think they're coming on and crying teardrops because they want to make money. And I think they are liars. And I will tell you something.
But all right, you're telling the kids not to watch it. You're telling the parents not to watch it. You obviously realize that these people have rights. And
well, this is a homework assignment, every bit as legitimate as any other homework assignment. And I have given the assignment to the kids. You don't watch this show, and your parents don't watch this show. If you don't do the assignment, you lose grade points.
All right, I've never heard of telling people not to watch a television show.
Well, that's fine, Phil, but there's a lot of different ways that we give out homework assignments. It's not just having them write things down. Sometimes it's having them not do something. So, no, not only do I not want the kids to watch it, I want the parents to watch it. I don't want my kids watching some show where three of these, boy, three of these women get on, lie about their country, lie about how sorry they are, shedding all their little crocodile tears, making everybody look stupid for believing them, while the rest of us supported this country. I'm not going to allow that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. I am Phil Hendry. With me is Vernon Dozier, a math, football, current event, history teacher at Belmar Academy in Glendale, California, who has given a homework assignment to his kids. He doesn't want them watching the Dixie Chicks on the Diane Sawyer interview tomorrow night, and doesn't want the parents watching it. Well, I'm curious, because that's the homework assignment. Otherwise, what? They'll get a bad grade?
I will shave points off the grade, absolutely.
All right, I'm curious. Why not let the parents watch? Why not let the parents watch it?
Phil, the reason why you don't want parents to watch this kind of thing is then that the parents start to get some idea that they are, as, shall we say, entitled to respect as you are. And I think parents are entitled to respect, don't get me wrong, but obviously I got more education than these parents do. and all of a sudden they're going to be respected the same way as me? No, that's not going to happen. I have talked to these parents in teacher-parent meetings. I'm going to say this as politely as I can. They're rather uninformed people.
Well, you're calling them stupid, is that it?
You said that, I didn't.
But that's what you mean. You're saying the parents you talk to, these kids are stupid.
You said that, I didn't. Okay? So, you get the parents watching this Diane Sawyer, Dixie Chick garbage, and the next thing you know, they're going to be feeding their kids full of a lot of crap. And I have to deal with it in my classroom. There's a reason why I've been teaching high school for 35 years. And that's because I know what's best for my students. And the wrong thing to do is take some of these kids who they don't even know which pimple cream to buy. Now you're feeding them full of all kinds of bull crap about the Dixie Chicks and they love their country.
All right, there is an emotionalism that you have. You know,
well, of course I'm emotional. I think we all are emotional.
But no, there's an emotionalism that you have that I think is betraying some other agenda, if you know what I'm...
I have no other agenda, sir.
Well...
I have no other agenda. I love my country. This interview with the Dixie Chicks sends a message that it's okay to defecate all over the flag, but if you say you're sorry and you cry, it's all right. If you say you're sorry and you cry, it's okay to urinate on the American flag. I don't believe that.
So that's what you believe is the biggest danger about the Dixie Chicks tomorrow night?
The fact that they're going to tell kids... You can go ahead and hate your country, go on Diane Sawyer and cry about it, and everything's just going to be fine.
Well, you're telling the kids don't watch it. It is a homework assignment. You're also saying the parents don't watch it. That's a homework assignment. I don't know how you enforce something like that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. How do you know if the kids have watched it or not?
There's a lot of different ways you can find out, Phil. The way that we generally use is that we will tell the kids, you know, I was kidding about not watching Diane Sawyer. I think it's okay. How many kids watched it? And then they'll think it's all right. They'll raise their hand. I'll say, how many of your parents watched it? And they'll raise their hand. And we'll discuss it for a half hour. And I'll say, well, guess what? I wasn't kidding. It really is a demerit. So you can fool them into telling you. Again, you're talking about kids. And the day that I can't fool some teenager into giving me information that I need is the day that I got to hang it up.
Isn't that dishonest?
No, sir. It's dishonest not to do the homework. It's dishonest not to do the homework. If I said don't watch the Dixie Chicks on Diane Sawyer because they're lying bar trash, then you're supposed to do that. That is...
Again, sir, I think it sounds like something personal.
I got nothing personal.
Well, you call them lying bar trash. And I think that if you don't agree with their opinion...
What else do you call people who say President Bush, they're ashamed that he came from Texas on the eve of a war with one of the worst dictators the world has ever seen? What else do you call people like that? Again, they are liars. They come out of the bar scene. I know that scene pretty well when I was younger. I got kicked around in it pretty good by a lot of different women. And they're just the ones. They're just the types. I can look at a Dixie Chick CD... Take a look at the three of them, and I'm looking right back at the faces of the typical bar trash that I would see when I was in college. They'd give you that look, and when you, you know, try to buy them a drink, they'd, you know. I'm just...
Again, you sound very emotional.
I am emotional because I love my country.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Vernon Dozier, high school... teacher. He does not want his kids watching the Dixie Chicks tomorrow night on Diane Sawyer because he thinks the Dixie Chicks are not really sorry for saying what they said. He thinks they are, quote, lying bar trash. And he is telling the kids not to watch it. He thinks that they did the lowest possible thing you could do, and that is make fun of their country at a time of war, and that if the kids watch this show, they will get the message that it's okay to trash the American flag so long as you go on TV and cry about it later. Very strong opinions. He is telling the kids and the parents they're not allowed to watch this Dixie Chicks interview. If they do, they will be docked points from their grades. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Survivor Compton.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tomorrow night, the Dixie Chicks go on Diane Sawyer to apologize, basically, for the comment they made about President Bush on stage in London before the war broke out. And it's an emotional time. The comments that they made, and many of you might be interested.
Mr. Henry, I wanted to jump in.
All right, and let me also say that we have Mr. Vernon Dozier. He's a high school teacher. He's been very, very vocal about not wanting his students to watch this interview. But I wanted to say this. They say that they support the troops. They say that, they were sorry about offending President Bush. It seems heartfelt.
Well, this is what I wanted to jump in and say.
Go ahead, sir.
Heartfelt is honesty, and I don't think these women are honest. I think they're lying. I think they'll lie to the American people tomorrow night. And I've told my kids, don't watch this because they'll lie to you.
Well, if you've told the kids that it's a lie, why not let them watch?
Because they will then listen to these three. And if you look at them, I've got the album here. It's called Dixie Chicks. I don't know the name of it, but the three of them are on the cover. And you look at them, and they got that look like... they could sell you, they could sell ice cubes to an Eskimo. And I can tell the kids something, but then they'll listen to the Dixie Chicks, and then they'll do what they say to do. And I would rather just not have to deal with any of that. I would rather my students not listen to three lying... Oh, boy. I'll tell you, I...
All right, 1-800, let me just get to a phone call here then, Mr. Dozier. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, what I was going to say, Phil, these Dixie Chicks may have fooled the country music fans. All those folks know about is whatever, their dog, their dinner, beating their wife or their kid, but they're not going to fool me with the phony tears and the crocodile tears.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here now to Becky. Hi, Becky, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. Becky, she's gone. Let's go over to Nancy. Nancy, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
I guess my comment is, if he's so worried about the Dixie Chicks lying, isn't he lying to his kids when he tells them he's going to trick them into telling them whether they watch the show or not?
But they're lying to me. Okay. So it's a higher purpose.
It's a lie to them.
I'm showing them what lying does. If they lie to me and say they saw it, they didn't watch it, then it turns around they did. I'm showing them what lying does. I don't want them to watch it.
Are you going to watch this?
You're teaching them to lie by tricking them.
No, I'm not teaching them to lie.
Oh, I think you are.
No, ma'am. I'm saying don't lie.
Because they're going to turn around and do the same thing.
No, this is what lying does. Lying gets you an F. You think they want to lie if they know that lying gives them an F? No, I don't think so.
Well, besides,
ma'am, you know what? Are you a teacher?
No, I'm not.
All right, well, then I... don't know why I'm really talking to you about it. I imagine...
Well, do you have children, Nancy?
I have two kids. I have two teenagers.
Okay, they're in high school?
They're in high school. Well, I have one in college and one in high school.
All right. I don't know you, ma'am, and I certainly do respect you, but a lot of parents, and I don't necessarily mean you, but a lot of parents know just enough to be dangerous. And I believe me, I've dealt with a lot of parents and a lot of teenagers, and they wouldn't have a pot to throw it out of in terms of brains. So... I do what I do, and the parents, you know, they go along with it.
Well, I'm a educated woman. I'm a professional, and I've dealt with many teenagers. I know teenagers lie, but to me, all you're doing is encouraging them to trick people into getting them to say stuff.
Yeah, I guess what you're saying, don't watch the Diane Sawyer interview. Then the kids say they didn't watch it, and you say, well, you know what, I was just joking. It was okay if you watched it. Then they go ahead and say they did watch it, and then you say, no, I actually wasn't joking. You're penalized.
Wait a second. You're coming down on me, and they come into my class and lie to my face, and there's nothing wrong with that?
Well,
see, this is the double standard.
Don't
Dixie
kids get
Chicks,
an opinion, too? They can make their own mind up even if they watch something. You don't have to agree with what you hear on TV.
The Dixie Chicks and some kids, some brats, get to lie, but I don't get to lie. See, that part I don't understand.
That's a double standard for you, too.
Well, Nancy, do you really think you could be a proper judge of what's good for kids to watch? I'm a teacher. You're not.
So. I'm a parent.
Okay.
And I'm
So is Mrs. Dahmer. All right.
Let's not get engaged in hyperbole.
So was Mrs. Dahmer.
All right, Nancy, I thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. You're not intimating that woman is raising a serial killer, are you?
I don't know. Why would I know? All I'm saying is...
No, you're not intimating that, are you?
I don't know. How would I know? Maybe she is. What I'm saying is I'm the one that's got to deal with it every day when they come in. After they've been with their psychotic, in some cases, molesting, drunken parents.
And maybe some of them got good parents.
Okay.
You've never met a decent parent?
Of course I have, Phil, but I don't work on that basis. Every day I walk into the classroom, I work on one fundamental basis, and that is these kids come from garbage, and they're going to give me nothing but trouble, and I have to control them every step of the way.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Michelle, go ahead. You're on with Vernon Dozier, who is not allowing his students to watch the Diane Sawyer Dixie Chicks interview. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi, Vernon.
Yes, ma'am.
I may not agree with your opinion, but I'm going to allow you to have it. I really am disturbed by the fact
that
you are
censoring. What choice do you
have? Well, I'm really concerned because you're censoring your students. It's their right to form their opinion.
No, they're under 18.
Okay. Well, that's up to your parents to raise them.
No. They're in my school.
And during that period of time, you can tell them what you want, but don't censor them at home.
Wait a minute. I get to give out a homework assignment.
Okay.
That's what
I
did.
And the homework assignment would be something that is assigned to your classroom, not what's on television at night.
No, the homework assignment
was... You cannot watch something.
The homework... Ma'am, are you a teacher? No. I knew that you weren't a teacher right away, but I just thought I'd ask just to see if you lie, you know. Now,
I don't like this assumption that people lie.
Believe me. Now, when I tell them you don't watch Diane Sawyer, that's a homework assignment. Don't watch the Dixie Chicks.
That's censorship.
Now, these kids, they don't know anything, and all they need is a pack of butter hogs crying to Diane Sawyer, telling them what's right, what's wrong, and all that. I got to deal with this.
Now, you've referred to these women as butter hogs, bar trash. You also mentioned that they reminded you of women that you met in your bar days.
And so what?
So, is there not a personal agenda here?
I don't know where you're getting that idea. What I'm trying to do, you know...
Well, I do. You know what? You have some real issues, and I'm sorry for that.
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Back with Vernon Dozier in a moment here on The Phil Hendry Show. He doesn't want his kids watching the Dixie Chicks.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Stuff they make a fool out of me.
We're back. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier, a high school teacher. Do you think other high school teachers, Mr. Dozier is demanding that his students not watch the Dixie Chicks on Diane Sawyer? They are going to apologize. You think they're liars?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
All right, do you think that there are other teachers doing this kind of lesson?
I don't care, Mr. Hold on. I don't care, Mr. Henry.
Are you all right, sir?
No, I'm fine. Somebody... See, he's looking at me right now. Hold on. I don't care what lesson is given to the... I don't care what lesson is. God.
Do you need to pull over, sir?
No, I'm fine. I don't care what other teachers do. It's what I do that counts. Me. My school. And let's not have any illusions. This is my school, not theirs.
All right, I'm going to ask you in a moment about this personal problem that you seem to have with
I don't have a personal problem, Mr. Henry, and I would appreciate if you would not continue to say that, because it just takes us off the point of what we're trying to say.
But you admitted that these women, the Dixie Chicks, reminded you of women that you used to meet in bars. 1-800-449-8686. Becky, you're on The Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say to you that I don't think it's fair for you to call them bar sluts. Just because they don't agree with President Bush does not make them anti-American or whatever. And it's pushing it to call them bar sluts. They are just as patriotic as you are. Just because
no,
they
they're
don't
not. No, they're
yeah,
not. No, they're not. Well,
sir,
ma'am, I'll tell you.
Just because they don't agree with President Bush, I don't agree with everything President Bush does. That doesn't make me an unpatriotic American.
Wait a minute. Did you agree with the war? Did you not?
You know what? No, I don't agree with the war.
Okay.
And my husband's
but
about
now,
to go.
Now you're jumping on the bandwagon and all happy that they won, though, aren't you? Yeah. Just like the Dixie. And I didn't call them sluts. I said they're bar.
I said they're
bar trash. And the reason why I say they're bar trash, because I've seen God. Every time I go into a bar and you see them there.
Are you married, sir?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm divorced.
I don't believe that I'm an unpatriotic American just because I don't agree with the war. And I don't believe this war was about winning or losing.
Okay.
It was about freeing a country and getting the chemical weapons that he had.
But you didn't agree with freeing that country.
Him.
You didn't agree with freeing that country.
No,
I felt
that they should free themselves like we did 200 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Real good. You haven't eaten in 3 months, but you're supposed to free yourself. You and the Dixie Chicks, ma'am.
You know what, sir?
Who is honking the horn? Who's honking the horn?
I'm honking the horn at a guy that's he's looking at me.
Sir, don't sit there and call me an unpatriotic American.
Ma'am, you are.
My husband leaves for Iraq.
That's your husband. That's your husband. Your husband's patriotic. You, on the other hand, you're not.
You think that I don't support my husband 100%.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Because he's going to do a job.
No, you don't. And you know why? Because that's the cop-out that the Dixie Chicks are going to give Diane Sawyer. And every time I say that name, Dixie Chick, that's the cop-out. Oh, I support the troops. I don't support the war. That's a lie.
There's millions of Americans that don't support the war but support the troops.
No, that's bullcrap.
There are millions of Americans.
How can you support the troops and not support their work? You know what, Becky? Why don't you
Because there's half of the troops that don't agree with why they're going over there.
No, that is a lie. That's another lie.
No, it is not.
Now, how do you know they're not allowed to express their political opinions, ma'am? They're supposed to do what the commander-in-chief tells them to do. And you know what, Becky? Why don't you just phone Jacques Chirac and go to a Dixie Chick concert as long as
you
feel
that way? You know what? Sir, that is bull.
Who's honking the horn?
There's a guy that won't get out of my way.
Sir.
Yes, ma'am.
There are millions of Americans that feel that way. There are lots of the troops that feel that way.
No, ma'am.
But they have a job to do, and so they are doing it.
Ma'am.
And just because you don't believe in war does not make you a patriotic American.
You don't love your country because you won't fight for it. That's as far as I can tell. You won't
you
fight
don't
for
think
your
I wouldn't fight for my country if somebody was personally attacking our country?
They just did on 9/11.
Okay.
What were you doing, Becky? Making another crueler?
That wasn't
What'd
Iraq.
You call 9/11?
That wasn't Iraq.
Get out of the way!
All right, sir, you need to either take care of what's going on in the traffic.
I'm fine, Mr. Hendrick. What's going on is this guy has been in the fast lane now for the last hour.
All right, but I don't want you getting in a wreck.
I understand that.
Okay, Becky, thank you very much for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Christy on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Christy.
Hi, I'd like you to know that as a woman and a professional who educates for a profession, I have had educators for you as a teacher growing up, and I think that you are encouraging these children to only listen to your opinion and to tell them what they need to do instead of encouraging them to form that opinion and take it into life. You're dealing with your insecurities in yourself by imposing your rules and your restrictions on these children.
Christy, I want to tell you, I've been an educator for 35 years, first of all, just so we know that you and I, you know, we see eye to eye. When I was a young teacher, I was a very big country music fan. I attended a concert at a county fair where I grew up, which is in Kentucky, is a little town called Bledding, Kentucky. And there was a singer there. Her name was Lacey Jones. And we had a relationship. I met her. I loved her music. I invited her out. This was exciting for me because I was only 21 years of age. I was getting my teaching credential in college, and I met this young lady who I thought was a terrific singer. And you want to know something? Country singers are like a lot of these musicians. They're like gypsies. They go from town to town. And I had no idea. She left town. I never saw her again. I was on penicillin, amoxicillin, for the next 9 months because she gave me the clap. And
are you kidding?
No, sir, I am not kidding. No, sir, I'm not kidding. Well, if that lady's laughing, good for you.
No, I just don't understand why your personal opinions and your derogatory comments towards the country music scene in general have to do with you forcing your opinions on these children. If you had enough security in your teaching and what you're teaching these children, you would not mind if they watched the show and took what you were teaching them to make their own informed decision.
I have experience. I have experience with a country singer. I got the drip from... Oh, man.
And I absolutely have no understanding why that would want
to...
Why that would force you to impose your opinion on these children.
Because these women, at a time of war, disrespected the commander-in-chief, gave comfort and aid to the enemy, and our troops are in harm's way while they're talking about President Bush being a piece of garbage. God.
I absolutely do not disagree with your opinion
exactly.
that the basic are
That's
wrong.
What I'm saying.
I disagree with your opinion of yourself, thinking that you're superior enough to force your opinion on these
can
children.
Can I also ask a question at this point?
Yes, sir.
Is all of this because you got a venereal disease from a country singer?
Mr. Henry, you can make light if you want to.
Sir, I'm honestly not making light. I mean, but...
I'm sharing my experience with my students.
All right, then I have to ask this. Are you telling your students that a country singer gave you venereal disease?
I am sharing my life experience with my students.
Oh, boy. You know,
I don't honestly think you're qualified to be an educator if you cannot hold
really?
Your personal preference
35
of a
years
person.
I've been a teacher, ma'am. 35 years. Are you a teacher?
I'm an educator.
How long have you been? An educator. What's that?
I teach on a daily basis.
Ma'am, so do I.
I understand that you do, but that doesn't mean that you are...
What is it with that horn?
God's right to force your opinion on these children.
I didn't hear what you said.
It's all right. Christy, thank you for your opinion. 1-800-449-8686. I need you to be paying attention to the conversation.
I certainly am, Phil. This guy, and he, for the last 10 miles now, Liz, watch this.
Hold on. Hold on, sir. Hold on, because somebody's going to get hurt.
I understand that, but now he's moved over. It's all right.
I don't know what you're doing, but I don't think it's smart to be playing games with somebody else in traffic while you're on our program.
I understand it, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Marvin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I'm glad my kids don't be caught by you.
Yeah, you sound about like some of the parents I have, I'll tell you that.
Well, I don't care what you think, but, you know, you can't tell me what my kids can watch at home, and you can't, just like I can't tell you what to teach them
Wait
at
a minute.
School.
I'm giving them homework, and the homework is don't watch the Dixie Chicks.
Well, I'll tell you where you can put that homework.
Hey, you want your kids to go through life saying how much, you know, saying fries with the shake, sir? That's your business. But I'm trying to get kids ready for life.
It's part of life anymore, you know.
What's that?
It's part of life anymore. You have to be able to go with the time.
That horn.
I'm a truck driver, and by God, if I was...
Sir, I'm trying to teach
you right now, you'd be off in the ditch. I guarantee that.
What's that?
You'd be blowing something, all right.
Hey, I'll tell you this much, Marvin. I'm training the kids to be a little bit something more than a truck driver, so...
There's nothing wrong with being a truck driver.
I didn't say that there was, but you don't have to have a high school education to be one. So,
no, right, you don't. Right.
Yeah, see, and the kids that I'm teaching, look, I'm going to say it again, Marvin. When the inside of your pants feels like a butane torch because of some country singing whore, am I supposed to let kids watch that?
Well,
wait a minute.
I think it's your parents... bringing you up that was wrong because they should have taught you where to put that thing and where not to.
She was a country singer.
That doesn't mean the Dixie
that don't
Chicks.
Mean nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't mean the Dixie Chicks are the same way.
They got the same look. They got the same here on this album here. Look at this. Dixie
well, that's
Chick.
A personal problem.
You know, they
there.
Might as well call this Dixie Chicks whore. Because the three of them, they've got the slutty dress.
Look at sir, you know, again.
If I was you, I'd cut it off.
Get out of here.
You wouldn't have to worry about it.
Cut what off?
You know what off.
No, I don't. If I were you, I'd cut my head off. See, but that's impossible.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much, Marvin.
Yeah. Damn it.
He'd be getting fired if he was in my school board.
What's that, sir? You'd fire me?
Well, I think
darn
I agree
right
with...
I'd fire
I
you.
Agree with Marvin. I would have you fired.
On what grounds?
On what grounds? First of all, you're sharing intimate details of your sex life with kids in school. I don't like that.
I'm trying to warn them against, you know...
What, having sex with a...
That's a job.
Having sex with a country singer?
You better believe it. There, I said it. What's so funny about that, Marvin?
Well, because you should have known better.
Can
you
I?
Know, you should have used protection.
Get out of the way! Can I ask
even
you?
Even a dumb truck driver knows that.
She told me that she was a virgin.
Oh, come
well,
on!
That's your own stupidity, see? And you're a teacher? I'm glad I ain't being taught by you.
Marvin, I never like it when men laugh at me. I don't like women laughing at me, but I don't like it when other men laugh at me.
Well, that's because you're an ignorant ass, you know that?
Do not laugh at me again. God. Is that you in front of me, Marvin? That is
no,
you?
No, I don't think so.
Where are you right now?
I'm smart enough to pull over on the side of the road when I'm talking on the phone.
All right, sir, I need to... Sir?
Get out!
This guy is wound too tight, don't you think?
Well, there's other lanes. Why don't you go around him?
Do you think this guy is the horn? Is the horn stuck?
The horn stuck, yeah.
Well, that's what you get for hitting it so many times.
I gotta get out. I gotta get open the hood.
Ignorance of a teacher.
Did I hear you laugh at me again, Marvin?
Yeah, you heard me.
You SOP.
You're so funny.
Get out and fix the horn, will you?
I'm trying to fix it. What are you looking at? What are you looking at?
See, a teacher ought to have enough brains to be able to fix it.
Yeah, a teacher should know how to fix...
I heard that, Marvin. You see, everything you say, I'm taking down.
Good.
What truck company... There he laughed again, didn't he?
Well, he's
laughing.
Yeah,
I did.
And you did it again.
You're a funny teacher.
Sir, I have noted every time you've laughed, I've got about six...
Will you fix that horn?
I'm fixing... What are you looking at?
You know,
yeah, that's right, my
you ought to have some brains on how to fix things.
I'm sorry, Marvin. I'm not good with my hands. You know, I don't rebuild carburetors like you do.
No,
what are you
I
looking
don't
at?
Either.
Yeah, my horn's
that's
stuck.
Why,
you wanna...
That's why there's mechanics, you know?
I can't talk to you and talk to... The... Why don't you take a picture? It'll last a little bit longer, man. Huh? Yeah.
You better fix that horn or I'm hanging up.
I don't give a crap. I don't want to talk to this Marvin anymore.
Just be...
God, I hate it.
From a good truck driver.
See you later, Marvin. Thanks for hauling all the goods.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Marvin. Thanks for all those bad... products you haul.
You're welcome.
Why don't you haul out of the, get out of that chicken truck and help me?
Fix the... Get him out of here. I can't listen to that anymore. This is a guy who's a school teacher. He's a school teacher with a stuck horn on the side of a freeway, and the reason why he doesn't like the Dixie Chicks is because a country singer gave him the clap when he was 21. Just another Phil Henry Show bit. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR.
One 800 449 8686, and now more on the Phil Henry Show.
By the way, that was me doing the voice of Vernon Dozier in that last bit, the bit about the Dixie Chicks and the people that called in. They think Vernon's a real guy. 1-800-449-8686. What do you want, bud?
Something was kind of go around my head. I thought I'd kind of bounce off you and your listeners.
What?
I was looking at the CD you have of the Dixie Chicks. And how much do you think Playboy would have to offer them for them to do a major spread?
I don't think they'd take any amount of money in the world.
You don't think they'd spread?
But don't say spread. Say do a photo shoot.
No, but in Playboy they call it a photo spread.
Well, then you can call it a photo spread. You don't have to say you don't think they spread.
Why?
You know very well why. Don't say that.
No, I just... How much do you think they do for a spread?
Look, first of all, I don't think the Dixie Chicks would take any money from Playboy
to...
Would you buy it?
Would I what?
Would you buy the Playboy that they spread in?
Well, maybe.
Yeah, I knew it. It'd be the hottest selling one that they ever had.
Yes, I guess it would, bud. And you know what? If I had wings and freaking, if I had the wheels and, you know...
Wheels and pedals.
If I had wheels and pedals, I'd be a bicycle. But I ain't.
I don't understand.
If I had wheels and pedals, I'd be a bicycle.
Okay.
Well, you're talking about, wouldn't it be great if they nude it up for Playboy? Yeah, it'd be great if they got nude for Playboy. It'd be great if I had them all out together on a date one night.
But the middle one's fat.
Well, what are you telling me you want to see him nude in Playboy for if the middle one's fat? All you do is sucker me into this bull crap.
No, I just want to know, how much would they spread for?
If you say that one more time, it's a photo shoot, it ain't how much would they spread for.
No, that's what I mean, photos, it's a spread photo.
I don't know, probably $80 trillion.
I think Hefner could do that.
Okay, well, good.
How much again?
80 quadrillion billion zillion dollars, and the Dixie Chicks would then do a photo spread.
I could call Mr. Hefner, and maybe he'll get me a 10% finder's fee.
Oh, that's it, bud. Yeah, that's what he's going to do. He's going to give you 10%.
Well, think about it. 10% of 80 quadrillion bazillion.
Yeah, that's what he needs you for, man, to find the Dixie Chicks. He don't know where they are. He ain't read the paper today.
You're never going to get it, are you?
No, I guess I'm never going to be as smart as you, dude. How much for a spread? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Born again. Now, Phil Hendry.
U.S. Girly magazine Playboy is joining the U.S.-led war in Iraq by deploying its Playmate centerfolds to boost battlefield morale. Playboy, the world's oldest skin magazine, said on Monday that it was launching Operation Playmate to help perk up troops by allowing them to email the centerfolds, who will send back autographed photos of themselves. Gee, swell. You know, it's... How about a little trip over there? I mean, you know, I just don't mean to be rude, but, wow. Gee, autographed pictures. Yeah, that's what they want. Operation Playmate, the brainchild of Playboy's colorful founder, Hugh Hefner, was originated while he lay there in a circular, vibrating bed with about 16 blondes nude crawling all over him. He said, sucking on his pipe, among other things, "Say, why don't you send some pictures to our guys in Iraq right now who are getting blown to bits?" And the girls all ran off and emailed. The boys will be able to send an email to their favorite playmate, and she'll send them a headshot of themselves or of them wearing shirts and T-shirts, he said. "But no nude boob shots. Those are for me only," said Hefner. And then he got in his car and sped away. Then he continued talking. "We don't want to send any nude images that would be offensive to our Arab allies in the Middle East." Ha 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 ha! Oh, there's a hot one. Come on, Hefner. Come down out of that. Come down out of your, you know, whatever it is you're in. Get off that leather mask and let's talk serious. "We don't want to send any pictures that would be offensive to our Arab allies. Which ones are those?" You know, we've been paying so much attention about what offends our Arab allies. It's cracking me up. You know, they ought to start paying a little attention about what offends us. Dig it? I know. I'm getting on that whole thing now. It's making people uncomfortable. Henry, you warmonger. You're such a racist. You're a racist, warmonger, Nazi communist. "We don't want to send any pictures that would be offensive to our Arab allies in the Middle East, but we wanted to give the guys something else to think about to get the imagination going so that they can lay there on a cot and pleasure themselves while I'm here with the real deal," said Hefner. 81. More than 70 playmates who grace the centerfold to the monthly publication in all their glory will take part in the operation. "I think it would be neat," said one of the girls. "It would be so much fun to be nude in the picture. Then I go pleasure Hef. That me what I do," she said. The women will be, oh, I'm sorry, she was Vietnamese. The women will be following in the tradition of legendary troop pinup girls from the earlier conflicts, including Marilyn Monroe and Betty Grable, officials said. The playmates have already begun work signing pictures and writing emails from a long table in a basement someplace. Actually, said Hefner, the playmates will not be signing the pictures. We've hired some senior citizens to do that. But what will the guys know while all kinds of ordnance is falling around them and someone shooting at them, he said, smiling and winking. Many playmates have asked what they might do to support America's fighting men and women, Hefner said in a statement. I discourage that because many of them are too stupid, really, to help in any way. But then I got the idea. They can pose nude in front of a camera, and then I'll have the old ladies sign the pictures, said Hefner. The Playboy Bunny's foray into the conflict in Iraq is not his first wartime role. For 1 year, starting in November 2001, the magazine conducted an Operation Playmate to help pep up U.S. troops fighting the U.S. war against terrorism in Afghanistan. No nudes were allowed in that operation either. Arabs don't have normal sex, said Hefner. Apparently they have sex with all of their clothes on, and they fumble around in the dark like idiots. And in the Vietnam War in the 1960s, many Playboy magazine subscriptions were diverted from U.S. addresses to soldiers fighting in Southeast Asia. In 1966, Hefner even dispatched Playmate of the Year Joe Collins to the combat zone to have sex with every single man in theater. Fantastic, Hef. Many of the men, though returning with gonorrhea, said they were thankful for the thought. Under the latest scheme... Anyway, get it out of here. You know, I went to the Playboy Mansion once. And that doesn't make me special, believe me. But I thought I would share my experience at the Playboy Mansion, because a lot of guys have never been there, and I didn't do anything there. I wasn't at a party. I wasn't invited to any party. What happened was... I was having my picture taken. When you're in this business, you got to have some pictures taken so people know what your ugly face looks like. So I had a friend of mine, and she was going to take my pictures, and she had a friendship with Hugh Hefner. And she had worked for him, and he was gracious enough to, when she needed it, he would let her use the mansion to take these pictures, right? Of people that she was very, very talented. Photographer, very talented, did her own makeup and photography, really good. She did a lot of the Playboy Bunny pictures. She showed them to me, and they were all like, didn't have nothing on. Anyway, she says, yeah, Phil, meet me over at the Playboy Mansion. I said, oh, no kidding. Yeah, we can use some of the scenery around there, you know, to take the pictures. Like, oh, great. So there I am. I show up. What was I driving in those days? I must have looked like a real hick pulling in there, man. 85, it was September of 85. Oh, I had an MG Spitfire. I guess it wasn't that. No, I had a Chevy Blazer. That ain't half bad. So I pull in there, and it was actually 86, early 86. And the first thing that happens, they got one of those rock speakers, but this was before it was really fashionable. I mean, that was the only place I'd ever seen one. I hear this.
Yeah, can I help you?
Hi, Phil Henry here for so-and-so.
All right, Phil, hold on.
And then they check their thing, and they let you through, right? So I drive in. It's a circular driveway. Park the car. There's a place for parking, so you don't just park in the driveway. It's like going to a Disneyland or something. There's a parking space for visitors. And the only guys that you see around there are security guys and butlers. And that's it, man. I did see some male guests who I'll tell you about in a second. So I knock on the door. A butler opens the door. I said, I'm here to see Miss So-and-so. She's supposed to take my picture. Oh, yes, Mr. Henry, come on in. Oh, thank you. So I walk in, and it looked like about what you see on TV, you know, the kind of goofy, ornate thing. I don't know, kind of that paisley meets... It's sort of the 60s paisley thing meets Victorian. It's really weird. Paisley 60s meets whorehouse. Seriously, and I don't mean that in an offensive way. It just... Everything about the joints, maybe it's my imagination working overtime. It just smells like sex in this joint. Not that I know what that smells like. So I walked in, and they said, have a seat there in the breakfast nook. So there's a little breakfast table there, and I sit down. And the guy says, can I get you some breakfast, Mr. Henry? Would you like some, you know, something to drink? No, I'll take a Diet Coke, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you. Okay, boom. Well, sitting there and talking and drinking and eating are maybe five or six bunnies. I mean, or I'm assuming they're bunnies. They look like it. And they're all looking at me, and because... Now, you got to understand something. This is what I figured. I don't know if it's for sure. I guess they figure any guy that's at the Playboy Mansion must be loaded or an influential guy. So they're all talking to me. I mean, I never had that many beautiful women at once. Just,
really? Well, I'm from Dallas, and I hit my head on the coping on the pool, and Hef said, you're not going home. You're staying here. You're getting better. I'm supposed to go back to Dallas.
Really? And they did. They sounded that stupid. I'm not making it up. I'm not making it. There wasn't any of them sitting there going, really? Your name's Phil, huh? You know, I was at MIT for only 2 years. I wasn't there when Beckham was there. But then I went to the University of Loyola, and I worked with an immunologist there. There's nothing like that. See, this? I remember this one girl. She says, what do you do? Well, I'm a broadcaster. I have a radio show. And,
are they going to take pictures of it?
Yeah, you know, Allison's here.
Okay.
And the cat brings in the food and like that, right? So I split with her, the photographer, and we go outside to the cabana. Now, this is a place that Hefner has near his pool. And it's got a bunch of change rooms. And it's got tanning beds. And I don't care about anything else at the Playboy Mansion, but this is really the coolest thing. The guy had matchbooks with his name on them. Remember those days when guys were like, Hugh M. Hefner? I'm copping these matches, you know. That's the bomb. I mean, that's so cool. Chris Pelton. Matchbooks with your name. I don't know. So he had those matchbooks and ashtrays and stuff. And then we went into the main area where these tanning beds were. And I was having my picture taken there while these girls are coming in and out of there in day glow yellow bikini bottoms and no tops. And they're sunbathing themselves. Or, you know, they're using the tanning bed. And I'm like, can I get that for you? I just, whatever I could do. And, you know, I'd like to say more, but, well, nothing happened. But you could see more than just the top thing. Not that they wanted to show you that. And they probably thought that I was gay or something. I don't know. Seriously. Then, and I'd love to say this guy's name, but I guess I couldn't. A very famous television actor came in. Into the cabana. Now, this cat was about 60, really kind of skinny, and wearing, I guess they give, back in the mid-80s, this was the look, and Hefner must have him hanging in the cabana, the same day-glow yellow Speedo bottom this cat's wearing, right? And he comes in just kind of, yeah. I'm thinking, this ought to be good. And he's rapping to the chicks, and So I don't know what happened. You know, he split. He looked disgusted with the whole thing. Like, you know, nobody was interested in him. Nobody was taking him up on the offer. I don't know what. Apparently, you know, there's a guest list. And if you're on it, you're welcome day or night. So if your name's on it, you'd say, yeah, hi, Phil Henry. Get lost. Okay, thanks. And that's all. Oh, yeah. And then I think I saw Hefner as I was leaving the cabana area. I saw a guy walking out around the pool and a bunch of girls running up to him. Now, that's got to be him. What other guy's going to be walking around the pool there with a bunch of girls running up to him? Now, I realize there's people listening right now who've been to the Playboy Mansion as guests and probably know Hefner, and it's saying, well, you're not telling me anything I don't know, Phil. Just bear with me, because I'm talking to my guys, the guys like me who ain't never been there. So that was it, and then I got in my car and I split. No, I didn't get laid by a playmate. Nor did I ask, although maybe I should have, I don't know. But as I was leaving, I saw this famous TV actor looking all pissed off getting into his Porsche, and he was leaving, so maybe he didn't, maybe it didn't work out for him either. So that was it, that was my big time. And then I had a friend of mine who was a bunny, she was an actress, I was in a acting workshop, and she had been a Playboy bunny over here at the Playboy Club on Sunset before it closed down. Oh, yeah, I stayed at the Playboy Mansion. Hef, if you don't have a job, if you don't have a place to stay, he'll let you stay there. But Hef doesn't like a lot of the guys around. He just likes the girls. I said, well, I noticed. And, by the way, the pictures that I had taken at the Playboy Mansion are in the scrapbook on my website. I don't know. You can't really tell it's the Playboy Mansion. But there is one where I'm laying down with a cigarette, and I look a little gay. That was taken in the cabana. So if you go to my website, philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com, and go to the scrapbook, you'll see a picture of me where I'm laying down in a sweatsuit smoking a cigarette. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? What am I, like Dan Aykroyd in that bit? I've got the sweatsuit on, puffing on a weed, and that was taken in that cabana thing. Let me see if I can find it. And then the ones that are outdoors, they were taken around some storage shed or tool area that they had. And I think, oh, there's one where I look super gay. The back of my truck drinking a beer, that was in the parking lot area. Let me see if I can find these things. There's one where I've got a golf bag on. You know that, Janice? That was taken in that parking area at the back of my truck. Anyway, go look at them. They look stupid. 1-800-449. You see this one of me laying down? Good God. After a strenuous, look at that. See, in the background, you can kind of see stone and stuff. It was in that cabana thing. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, Scott, Lacey Peterson, what's new with that? Iraq. We also have a story about O.J. Simpson getting his own TV show. We have a poll on military and the manhood and a bunch of other stuff. But first this. Robert A. Taft said he just wanted to get on the radio and dedicate a country song to lost love. Tart is his name. Robert A. Tart. He has a stutter. He said the person who answered the call-in refused to let him on the air to dedicate a song to his ex-wife and finally told him bluntly that his stutter was the problem. Well, he's filed a complaint with the Missouri Human Rights Commission against WIL-FM and Jones Radio Network in St. Louis, which broadcasts a country music show from Seattle featuring a DJ named Leah. And they broadcast the show in the evenings. And, Mr. Tart said it's hard enough to go through life. You know, when they quote you in the paper and they write out what you're saying, they should stutter that, too. So you get a good idea. I mean, how can I get an idea of what the guy sounds like if... So it should say, it is hard enough to go through life with a stutter. You should print it like that so we have a very general idea of what... Otherwise, like, yes, it's hard to go through life with a stutter, but wanting to get on a radio show takes some courage, Tart said Tuesday. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with him? There's nothing wrong with him. Then I realized they didn't write it in stutter. He stutters, but you got to write it in stutter. I talk slow, but they're keeping me off that show because of it. The commission is looking into Tart's allegations. According to paperwork that he possesses, the commission never discusses its activities unless it, oh, whatever. He said a woman named Alexa, who fields Leah's calls, told him on March 21st, Bobby, we don't do the stuttering thing. Wow. You know, I'd love to bag on this lady named Alexa, but we're the same way on this show. You know why? If somebody stutters, actually, we've never got a stutterer call a show, have we? We have? Do you blow them off the line, Chris? You're fired, you freaking racist. No. Do we have? Why do you not put them on the air? Why don't you put his mic up so I can hear what he's saying? Why don't you put them on the air?
Because I don't believe them if they're really... It sounds fake to me.
There are ways of determining... Well, first tell them, you know, your stutter sounds fake. Do they?
I do, and then they just, it gets worse then. And it just, I just hang up on them then.
You know what? You're right. And when you do a show like this, we are really brutal with the way that we screen the show. And so, therefore, you know, we just can't take any chances. So you got a guy called, yeah, I get out of here. No, really, I do stutter. What do you know? The next thing's going to happen to us. We're going to get sued by the National Stutterers Council because we blew some guy off the line. Susan Stevens, sales director at Jones Radio. Oh, that's the person to talk to, all right. Always go to the sales director. What? Said she spoke to Tart when he called Seattle to complain 3 weeks ago. She just picked the phone up that day. Stevens said she could not guarantee anyone getting on Leah's show. As for his accusation, she said, I can't go there. I can't imagine Alexa would use those words. We're a professional network with a huge volume of calls. It's incredibly hard to get on the air. Well, it's true. But I got to tell you, this poor guy, you know, if you stutter, you stutter. It's a drag. You can't do it. First of all, you don't know if the guy's putting you on. That's the number one problem. If you're doing a love line show, if you're doing some show where it's call in with your love dedication, and you get a cat on there going, I, it blows the atmosphere. You got some cat making love to his old lady or whatever's going on, and they got on Love Songs on the Coast, let's say. And you're listening to the Harry Belman show, Love Songs on the Coast. And now, Billy, do you have his dedication? And you're really, and it's a romantic thing. It blows the whole thing. She's up, she's in her clothes, and she's gone. You want that on your conscience? Jones Radio? Or Mr. Tart? And I realize that I've used this story as an excuse to break out my stuttering impressions, but I'm making a larger point here that I hope is not getting lost. And that is, there's no way anybody screening a radio show knows if a cat's got a real stutter or if it's phony baloney. There's no way. If I get a call again, hi, Phil, I like your show. Hey, dude, is that a real stutter? Yeah, I bet you I could tell. I bet you I could tell. Watch, I guarantee you this, too. The next 4 or 5 days, we're going to get stutterers calling. I guarantee it, because the callers are predictable as hell. All right, 1-800, besides, we have a speech impediment adjuster. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now it's time for our evening love dedication. I'm Brian Boone. I'm Brian Blown. Sorry, I didn't read the log properly. I'm Brian Blown with tonight's love dedication. You can call in at 555-5555 and dedicate your love song. Now we have on the line here, Billy. And, Billy, you have a very special dedication tonight, do you not? You want to hurry it up because this song's on now. What a retard. I'm sorry. It's a love song for you, Billy. I didn't know we were on the air.
How did I settle for a world in shades of gray?
All right. O.J. Simpson. I just had to get that out of my system. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. O.J. Simpson's putting his search for Nicole's killer on hold to star in his own Osbourne-esque reality show. This, according to TV Guide, they say that according to the Hollywood Reporter, Texas-based Urban America Television Network announced that it will distribute a 13-week series about the former football great to its 75 independent broadcast TV stations beginning in June. The series will chronicle Simpson's daily life in Miami using footage collected over several months of filming. Now, that's how you keep this guy from killing people. Follow him around with a camera. If you would have had a reality show based on his ass back in 94, none of this would have happened. Thank God for Texas-based Urban America Television. You think it's a bad idea. I think it's a great idea. They've said, I'll tell you one thing, we'll stick a camera on his ass morning, noon, and night. He won't spit on a sidewalk from now on. You'll see how much money he spends. You'll see how he lives. I think it's a great idea. O.J. Simpson. He is going to have his own television show, Urban America Television. You know, I was thinking the other day, see, I believe that he was innocent, and I just wonder how many other people feel like utter chumps and schmucks like I do. Not to mention that jury. God, I bet you they just hide. They run and hide. They go from tree to tree going to the supermarket. Who the hell, you want to tell anybody you were on the O.J. jury? Because now it's synonymous with dumbass. Back then, it was a bold statement about if it don't fit, you may acquit. And I bought all of that. I believe the guy was innocent. I believe that there was something going on with the with the, you know, the thing that convinced me about this guy was the way he behaved after the fact. That's, I finally realized I'd been taken for a big, long, sweet, breeze-ridden ride with the top down. The guy take me for a ride. Here he is. All of a sudden, he don't care. And I, wait a minute, your wife got killed. Now the guy's going to do a reality show? And see, it's all baloney. But I thought the guy was innocent. And I'll never forget when I heard the whole, you know, the verdict was rendered. And, yeah, it was predictable. All the white people were angry and the black folks were going, hey! Right? But I wonder how a lot of those folks would feel now. Do you still think the guy is, you know, if you're an African-American, come on, be honest. Don't you think this guy is rotten to the core? Crabby Appleton, rotten to the core. That's what I think. Gonna have it. It's his own TV show. I can't wait to see him shuck and jive his way through that. I can't wait to see him with the big grin. All right, we got to get to school now. And trying to be funny, oh, it'll be great. Doing his old OJ thing. All right, everybody, come on, let's go. I got to get to school.
Daddy, you got a knife in your pocket.
Ooh, whoops. I don't know how it'll come down. Apparently his daughter is miserable, doesn't like living with him. I think the whole thing is, I think it's all going to pay TV. So Simpson is on his way to a television show. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, speaking of dead wives, last night they showed an interview on Dateline of four girlfriends who were interviewed by NBC on January the 10th. And these are the thing, I really love this, because it shows you how people have changed. On January 10th, friends of Lacey Peterson were interviewed, and they said the following, oh, they're so in love. They're such a cute couple, and he adores her. Now they showed the same women this past week. They looked like crap. Their hair is hanging in their face. They haven't had a week's worth of sleep. The mascara is running. Chain-smoking cigarettes with the teeth yellow. I mean, they went from being perky and scrubbed housewives to, dare I say it, bar trash. How did it happen? I'll tell you how it happened. Scott Peterson. They said that Kristen and Greg Reed looked forward to sharing play dates and birthday parties with the Petersons, but now they're struggling with grief and confusion over the friends they thought they knew. Greg Reed met Scott Peterson about a year ago through the Rotary Club. The two men became friends and would talk a few times a week and periodically meet for drinks. Kristen Reed and Lacey Peterson, who were both pregnant, developed a friendship through their husbands. Reed said he never saw anything that would indicate the Petersons were having any kind of marital trouble, and he said Scott never mentioned his affair with Amber. Well, how tight are you going to be with some cat that you ran into at the Rotary Club and you have a couple of belts? By the way, I'm having an affair. No, Jesus. And I wanted you to know that. Well, I've just met you. I mean, no, come on. Aren't we friends? I just met you. I went to two Rotary Club meetings, and I'm buying you a beer. I'm screwing around with my wife, and I do plan on murdering her. Will you shut up? You're not my friend, man. I just met you, all right? We went to a Rotary Club meeting. He never told me that he was having an affair. I feel so deceived and cheated. We knew each other 48 hours. They were fun to be around, Greg Reed said on ABC News Good Morning America. They both seemed extremely excited as we were. We were both having our first babies at the same time or quite close to the same time. We were both planning on basically raising them together since we lived here in Modesto and in the same neighborhood. Now Kristen, whose due date was a few weeks ahead of Lacey's, is the mother of a son named Connor, the same name Lacey had chosen for her unborn son? The Reeds say they're not sure what to think of Scott Peterson's arrest last week. Greg Reed said he last spoke to Scott on Christmas Eve, hours before Lacey was reported missing. Yeah, they're real tight, all right. Yeah, they're good friends. Last time he talked to the guy was before his wife was murdered. Now he ain't got nothing to do with him. I can't understand why he wouldn't tell me about Amber's thing. I was so tight with him. Look, if a friend of mine gets hauled in for murder, I'm going to at least keep talking to the guy. Why? What business is it of mine? So he killed his wife with a fire axe. You mean I'm not going to be his friend? On the afternoon, he called... Ah, forget it. But you get the general idea, right? One thing struck me here about what they were saying. We live in the same neighborhood. Oh, I don't know. But you know, the father is still talking this. So it's his name, Lee Peterson. He still thinks his son's been railroaded. And I got to, you know what? I do feel sorry for that guy. I said the other day, I feel sorry for those parents. I feel sorry for, especially a father. Well, a mother, too. I mean, she's really close to her kid. And I'm not ready to say that, oh, well, they must have messed him up somehow as a kid. Look, like I said, the guy could have been born biochemically funky. Something funkadelic in his biochemistry just went haywire one night, and he decided to, you know, do the do on his wife. But I felt so bad for the father because he says, ah, my son's been railroaded. The guy's like in the dark. He's clueless. Now, if Scott Peterson is found innocent and it was somebody else, just forget I said all of this, okay? Thank you. We're talk radio. We don't know squat.
I want to
death,
God.
Nice going there, Mumbles. This is Love Songs. Would you believe me? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, pay a visit to our website, philhenryshow.com. When you get to our website, I want you to get a backstage pass and enter the amazing world of our radio show where we have various characters and different people calling in about different topics and nothing is as it seems. Check it out. It's at philhenryshow.com. It'll cost you $6.95 a month, but I guarantee you'll hear audio, you will hear radio like you've never heard before. Well, that goes without saying. That absolutely goes without saying. And you'll also hear some radio that maybe you have heard before, like our opinions on the war and our opinions on Scott Peterson and our opinions on, you know, the Dixie Chicks and just other fat people like that. Oh, Michael Moore. I think we can make a few comments on his big fat ass and the things that he's been up to. So check it out there. It's philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Now, that last name is spelled, by the way, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. If you go to our souvenir shop, you'll also check out some unique items for Mother's and Father's Day. On our website, we have a souvenir shop. You go in there and take a look at some of the things that we've got lined up for you. We have the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. It is a blue and black shirt. It's high-quality stuff all the way. Everything in our souvenir shop is total high-quality stuff. The Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. It is a royal blue and black. And it has the Ted's of Beverly Hills logo on the back. Why do they put Ted's Steakhouse? What is wrong with those guys that does the website? Who put this up? Do you know? Would you do me a favor, Chris, and email him and tell him it's called Ted's of Beverly Hills for the 8 millionth time, not Ted's Steakhouse? Thank you. God. You know, it's funny. Okay, it's Ted's of Beverly Hills. All right, Ted's Steakhouse. No, Ted's of Beverly Hills. Okay, Ted's Steakhouse. All right, thanks. You got it. Anyway, pick up the shirt. It is a high-quality shirt. It was designed by Ted Bell for Ted Bell in honor of his Ted's of Beverly Hills, you know, restaurant. This top-quality shirt is a soft, comfortable poly-rayon gabardine blend featuring a notched collar lapel hemmed cuff, a welt pocket, and a full front placket with 5 pearl buttons. It's pretty sweet-looking. And you can wear it around town or whatever the hell you want to do with it. You also have got to get the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse shot glasses. Ho-ho, baby. These shot glasses, you can get a set of 4. They are a 7/8 of an ounce. It's a sampler shot glass. That doesn't mean you don't use it. It's only a sample. What it means is it's a shot glass for sampling whatever it is you're going to mix your drink with. That's the Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glass. It's solid stuff. Then you can also go into our official Phil Henry Show store and pick up our baseball cap. We got a Phil Henry Show ball cap. We got our Phil Henry Show black T-shirt. We have the red T-shirt. We have the black and white coffee or latte mug. But here's my favorite addition to our souvenir shop. This is something else. To go along with the Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt, we now have the terry velour robe from the spa at Western Estates. You know, isn't that class? All the way class. What you do is you get that for your mom for Mother's Day. Beautiful thing. It is white plush, 100% cotton terry velour, three-quarter length sleeves, measures 48 inches long. It's got two patch style hip pockets and a double belt loop. One size fits most. Embroidered with the Western Estates Homeowners Association logo. It's a beautiful thing, and it's yours, baby, for Mom's Day or Dad's Day or whatever the hell. I don't imagine. Maybe Dad wants a robe. It'll look good on him. You can get the polo shirt. What else are we missing? Then you can go over to the Citizens Auxiliary Police Store. Look at this. We have two of the beautiful mugs here. We've got a travel mug, Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug. And you can also click on a detailed view of the logo. We have the Citizens Auxiliary Police Black Citizens Auxiliary Police Police Pouch Windbreaker. We have a Navy Citizens Auxiliary Police Pouch Windbreaker and Jacket. Same great jacket, only in navy blue. You can pick which size you want. Boom. You're in business. You can also get your Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. And we also now have the Citizens Auxiliary Police sweatshirt. Now this, I dig. Pick that up. Everything you need for Mother's Day and Father's Day. You don't have to go to any other store. If you got a Phil Henry fan in your house, if they raised you, if you have two people that raised you that are Phil Henry fans, I'd run. I mean, no. I go to our website and pick up some stuff for Mom and Dad, or whoever the hell, your husband, you know, your wife, Mom's Day, jazz like that. It's our website in the souvenir shop, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Wow. Fun show so far. Our number 1-800-449-8686. You know, there's not too many names in the news that make me dry heave. One of them is Clone Aid. Haven't we gotten rid of them already? I mean, were they bizarre or what? Well, they're back. I guess they're still making money. They've only got two people in the organization. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. I think it's they are to be admired. They ain't clone jack. They claim they've cloned five human beings, and based upon their claim of cloning five human beings, they've made up to $200,000 apiece for prospective cloning patients. 200 G's. They're run by some intergalactic organization known as the Raelians. You might as well call yourself the Federation of Planets. Why don't you just do that? Yes, hi, we're the Federation of Planets. Oh, really? Yes, and we clone people. Great. That'll cost you $200,000. Well, I can't wait. That's basically what it is. They got a guy that comes on TV with the hair pulled back like he's Toshiro Mifune in, Yojimbo. With that whole bun that the samurai wears. He sits there with that freaky-looking beard. He talks about outer space, all clone you, 200 G's apiece, and they're making money. Let that be a lesson. The sheer balls that you need in life, it doesn't take much. All you need is a lot of chutzpah. Just go out and bullcrap, but do it big. Then he had that woman with the bad teeth, and she was, of course, French. Or what was she, French-Canadian? What's the difference? She's up there with the, we have this baby. And we're, bull crap. Well, you know, and the press, good job, you guys really digging them up. Anyway, they got documents on these guys. There's two people in the group, two in Clone Aid. There's two. It must have been that woman and that cat with the Yojimbo bun on his head. That's what it is. The guy with the samurai bun and her with the bad teeth. And together they're making 200 G's to get cloned. Let me explain something to a lot of you folks. You may not understand this. If they clone you, your brain doesn't go into the clone. You aren't going to know. You won't be a new guy. It'll be its own guy. It'll look like you, and it may not like you. It may think, what a turd you are. Well, you look just like me. Yeah, too bad for me. Some people are going to get cloned because they figure that their head will, I don't know. That's number one. Number two, they ain't cloned anything. Okay? The only thing they're able to clone is an exact duplicate of the bowel movement they had yesterday morning. It's the same one this morning. Okay? That's what they're cloning. Oh, Lord. Hey, by the way, what's that congressman from Pennsylvania? Santorum? Santorum? Yeah, good luck, pal. You're going to need it. 1-800, hey, buddy, you want to get cloned? 200 grand, I'll do it for you. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.